Rock Radio, your rock station.
I'm sorry. radio show that helps you relax and unwind after a busy day. Raccoon Radio Show with Gino Alash.
The 2 hours of hard rock and heavy metal. Tuesdays.
On CFRC 101.9 FM, Kingston, Ontario, Canadá. Stay heavy.
Hablamos español.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. Vous écoutez le CFRC 101.9 FM.
Hey, ¿qué tal, chicos? Seguimos aquí en más Rock'n Radio. Estábamos escuchando ese bloque poderoso con Backstabber, con Supermodel Taxidermy, Neuroblade, Forsaken Ride, Cradle Feeling, Mutank. ¡Qué grandes canciones! ¡Great songs! En New Dance, bro. Well, siempre tenemos nuevas bandas todos. O sea, hay que ser honestos. Nunca conocemos todo. Y siempre hay que abrirnos y open mind. Y open ears. Because it's great to discover new songs. And it's better in the rock on radio show. Bueno, ahora vamos al momento de la entrevista. Ahora estaremos con el maestro Jim Hoglan, amigo de la Rockum también, que conversamos un tiempo atrás y nos contó varias cosas sobre cómo fue el año pasado, cómo viene el futuro, cuáles son sus sentimientos, ¿no? Lo que piensa, su época con Chuck Schuldiner, lo amigo que era de él. O sea, es bueno rescatar la amistad. Y nos contaba cosas muy bonitas que espero que les guste. Vamos a escuchar al maestro Jim Hoglan. Ya saben que él estuvo en Death del 93 hasta el 98, en álbumes buenísimos de Death. Aparte, él está haciendo una especie de tributo a Death. No están tocando las canciones que, bueno, no es un tributo, porque él mismo compuso muchas canciones de ahí, de los álbumes, ¿no? Symbolic y otros por ahí. Entonces, vamos con Jim Hoglan y vamos a escuchar la entrevista que le hicimos. Así, y en el fondo estaremos escuchando algo de Death. Es una banda fenomenal, del gran Chuck Schuldiner. Bueno, también Jim, recuerda, estuvo en Testament y en otras bandas más. Dark Angel también, cómo no. Bueno, por si acaso lo que están escuchando en el fondo es el maestro, el otro maestro, Richie Sambora. Bon Jovi. Richie Sambora era para mí era la parte fundamental de Bon Jovi. Hard Times Come Easy. Bueno, muchachos, seguimos aquí en Rock'n Radio. Vamos con la entrevista de Jim Hoglan. Estás en Rock'n Radio.
Everybody, this is your big buddy Gene Hoglan from just about every heavy metal band on the planet, and you are listening to Rock'em Radio. Crank it up.
Hi, Gene.
Greetings. How are you?
Oh, that is very kind of you. Thank you.
And no one will talk to you, really.
The honor is mine, brother. Thank you.
You're very welcome. How are you? How is everything there?
I'm doing well. I'm sitting in a hotel, about to head back over to the venue. We're on the road with Death to All, and this is our final couple of shows that we are entering into the next couple of days here. So, it's
tomorrow. Tomorrow is the last show, no? I'm okay.
That is correct. That's right.
Jeez, wow, you work a lot, huh?
Indeed, yeah. I have been on the road since February, and I really just, I have not stopped in a decade, really, but it's been since June of 2022 when kind of the pandemic sort of opened up, we got the green light to start doing a lot of things. And it has been nonstop since June of 2022. And I tell you, I spent the pandemic really busy as well. So it's been a crazy, definitely few months and, last couple of years kind of thing. But anytime the schedule ever gets a little crazy, I just always have to tell myself, hey, man, you asked for this, you know? And yeah. When I was a kid, you know, I've said that many times. When I was a kid and I you know, I set out on this path, you know, it's like, I want to be a rock drummer. I want to be a metal drummer. I know exactly what I want to do. I want to tour the world. I want to play in kick-ass bands and stuff like that. And this was part of what I asked for, you know, just be busy, make a living making music. So I never complain. I might yawn a lot, but I don't complain.
In a way, it's like a kind of bliss, you know, you're doing what you like, what you love.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, in the world, there's few people that can do that. They're doing jobs that don't like and until the last day of their life.
I agree. You know, I understand that. And I feel very fortunate. I do feel very blessed. I do get to live my dream. And I do understand that, you know, I'm kind of, you know, there aren't a lot of folks that do get to live their dreams. And so I applaud those guys, you know, the guys that are out there working to feed their families and you know, just out there just grinding to have a life, you know, and I definitely appreciate folks like that. And that's kind of why, you know, heavy metal is such an escape for so much of us, you know, like, you know, you work hard all week and then you go to the big kick-ass metal show at the end of the week kind of thing, or in the middle of the week, you know, I do see that, so that's pretty good.
Yes. Gene, can you describe the experience of the Scream of Perseverance tour so far and how the audience response has been?
Well, it has been over the top amazing. Let me tell you, it's been such a great run. You know, we've been out on the road since the middle part of May, so it's been pretty non-stop. And you know, as a lot of folks are aware, it's, you know, when we are doing the two night shows, we have the first night is Scream Bloody Gore in its entirety, as well as a bunch of tunes from Leprosy and Spiritual Healing. And on night two, we play The Sound of Perseverance in its entirety, as well as a bunch of tunes from Human, Individual Thought Patterns, and Symbolic. And so many folks come to both nights, and I see why, you know, because both nights are killer. They're just totally separate nights. You know, you have a few folks that are like, hey, I like the old school stuff. I go to that first night. I miss the second night. Other people the same way with the second night. But so many folks, so many death fans are, you know, they're like, I'm in for both. You know, I want to see both. I want to see the brutality of the first night. And that's pretty much a straightforward, just kind of, you know, kind of approach. And then all the crazy musical influences that are a part of the second night, you know, where we really get to, you know, throw our chops out there, you know, the musical skills, that's a real fun challenge for us, and hopefully the fans like it. Like last night we did our first night in LA. Mm-hmm. And boy, I saw a dude in the front row. I've seen this so many times since we brought Death to All out the very first time. So many guys in the front row. Last night he was in the second row. He was a little bit taller than the all the folks in the front row. But he had tears coming down his face, and you know, I actually felt bad because I caught eye contact with him, and you know, he was having a moment to himself. It's like he was in another world, and it's always so moving. I mean, here we are playing brutal death metal, but I get moved when I see somebody having that emotion, having that moment with themselves. He was by himself last night. Like, he was not surrounded by, you know, 1,200 screaming fans or anything. He was by himself. And then I caught eye contact with him. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, you know, he got, you know, he wiped his face and he got out of his little mode. And I felt bad for, like, I actually, you know, I gave him the metal arms just going, hey, I hear you, brother. But I think it was just kind of like, you know, took him out of his zone. So I felt kind of bad about that. But you know, he stayed in that spot all night. And he was rocking for the rest of the night. But it was it's always such a good, it's a good time. We are pretty lighthearted guys, you know, in the band. So it's not about all this dour death metal stuff and all, you know, grizzly all the time. We try to, it's fun having fun. So Stevie D and Bobby and Max, they're up in the front and they are having a blast. And I think that kind of translates over to the audience and the audience sees that energy, feels that energy. We feel the audience's energy and it just kind of beats off each other. And it's an amazing experience. And so many people have said, this is one of the best concerts I've ever seen. Like, this is the concert of the year. And like, for instance, Lara Christine from Dark Angel, she was at the show a couple of days ago, at both shows. She's like, and she said the second show, they were both amazing, but she was like, that was literally one of the best concerts I've ever been to. She plays in Death Clock too, you know, I mean, like, she's like, that was one of the, like, seriously, one of the three best shows I've ever seen in my life. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty damn amazing. And she's like, I'm not just saying that, this is true. And we've gotten that from so many folks. So I tell you, if you missed this tour, man, I do not feel sorry for you at all. You know, like, seriously, man, if you're the guy getting that phone call the next day, go, dude, where were you? But, you know, like, flat out, you missed it, because everybody's having a great time on this thing.
Tomorrow is the last chance for the people to see you.
Yeah, man, just in Mesa, Arizona. You know, tonight in LA is sold out. So, you know, I don't think anybody can just run down and
talking about the tour, how has Cryptopsy participation in the tour been? And how was that dynamic between the two bands?
Oh, well, we love Cryptopsy, and they're great. They're fantastic. You know, they just do such a great job. Flo Mounier, a legendary drummer. It's been such a pleasure to tour with our brothers from the north. They're fantastic. Their crew is great, and all the band guys are awesome, and we've had a great time together. And you know what, a fantastic double bill for a lot of folks, you know, getting to see Death to All, seeing some of that, you know, seeing all the Death material, and then getting to see Cryptopsy. And they have done the same thing we are. They take one night, do the old school stuff, second night they do a little bit of the newer era of Cryptopsy. So, you know, we kind of mirror each other in that way. And they're Cryptopsy. They're a legendary kick-ass band. And, you know, like I say, their Flo is a legendary drummer, you know, so it's been a real pleasure having those guys on the road. Totally.
Jim, how would you describe the chemistry between you and the other members of this Death Wall on the stage?
Oh, it's awesome. It's great. You know, like, we have a good time. We try to make each other laugh all the time. Like, if anybody who has seen the show, you see that Stevie D just gets right up to Max's ear and is just talking to him while he's trying to throw him off, you know, like, you'll see it, you know, watch the YouTube. You'll see Stevie D right in Max's face, you know, and just having fun. Bobby and Steve play off each other awesomely. Max has a great time running around the stage with Stevie D, and you know, we have a great time. We like each other, you know, we enjoy each other's company. We dig playing with each other, and that's the one of the greatest benefits for us. You know, we love playing death music for the fans, and we also love playing death music with each other. So it works out really amazingly for us all, totally. And we just try to put that good time that we are having, we try to, like, also put that out towards the audience, like I was saying. And then, like I say, that just, that energy just keeps, you know, going back and forth. And that's all you want as a band, you know, like, that's all you want to make the crowd happy. You want to make the crowd scream and shout. You want the crowd to walk out after the show with big smiles on their face going, my God, that was one of the best shows ever. And I think Death to All is doing a real good job of doing that. So that's what makes this such an exciting event, you know, when Death to All comes to town. That's pretty cool.
Wow. Gene, what does it mean to you personally and to the band to keep Chuck Schuldiner's legacy alive through Death to All?
It has, since we were able to create Death to All 12, a dozen years ago, you know, Chuck's music, you know, Chuck was our friend. He was our metal brother. He was taken too early. I mean, the man was 34 years old when he was taken from us. That is, that, you know, we're 56 now, some of us, you know, a couple of us, and that is too young to be taken from the earth. So Chuck being gone, and therefore, you know, kind of essentially not able to produce any more new music, you know, because he was going down, you know, before he left this earth. So us being able to keep his musical legacy alive, the music of Death, able to, you know, getting to play Death music, Death's music for people, we hear it all the time. Some of the guys roughly in our age bracket are like, I saw Death back in the day, my favorite band, I thought I would never get to see them ever again, and thank you guys for doing this. And we also have a legion of young fans, like the future of death metal, the future of death or Death to All is in good hands, because there are so many young folks out there going, I wasn't around when Death was doing their thing. So when you guys were doing your thing back in the day, I wasn't even born. But I'm a huge Death fan now. I've discovered them through, you know, whichever album they discover. And the fact that we get to see you guys, you know, this is, you know, the next best thing. I mean, we do this well. Death to All does this well. I'll flat out tell you, you know. And in the ability to be able to play all the material is important to us. You know, that's why us doing nights like these, you know, where we play the entirety of the old catalog, and then the second night we play the entirety of the newer catalog, you know, more recent catalog. That's important to us to help keep Chuck's music alive. You know, we could like, you know, it could be like Stevie D, you played on Human. Stevie D, you and me played on Individual. Bobby, you and I played on Symbolic. So we're just gonna play those three albums there. That doesn't do this any kind of service to just concentrate on three records that we played on. That's rather abhorrent to me. That makes zero sense to me. So we can do it all, and nobody plays like we do. So that's why it's important to us to honor the entirety of Chuck's music, Chuck's catalog, you know. And as it was put to me by Christopher Steele, who is Chuck's nephew, who was, you know, back in the day, and he's involved in like the Death official, you know, socials. When I was talking to him about this whole thing some time back, you know, and I had mentioned that, you know, it's important to us to be able to keep Chuck's music alive. Yeah. This is Chuck's musical legacy, and, you know, his music is very important and his legacy is very important. And Chris stopped me. He's like, that is killer. We love seeing that. However, you got to remember, G, this is also you guys' musical legacy as well. You guys were very important to the... All right, there you go. Badass.
Legacy.
You guys were very important to Death being what it was and what it is. And I was like, oh, God, nobody's ever put it like that. You know, thank you, Chris. I was really touched when he said, hey, let's just take a moment and talk about you guys' influence on the band and you guys' impact on the music of Death. And so I was like, wow, that is really, really cool. Thank you, Chris. That was very nice to hear. And so that's one thing we also try to remember, you know, like I on Individual Thought Patterns there, you know, I was trying to create drum beats that had never been heard before, you know, and you know, trying to leave my impact on the world of drumming, the world of metal, the world of death metal, the world of music in general. That was, you know, that was important to me, you know, I wasn't thinking about it at the time, but it became important afterwards. It's like, hey, I've never heard this beat before. You know, when I'm trying to come up with beats, it's like, well, nobody's ever played that one before. Throw that in there. Hey, Chuck, can you play over this? And Chuck's like, I'm good. You know, everything you're throwing at me, I can play my riffs over. So, you know, don't sweat that. That's all good. And so it's our musical legacy to some degree as well. So we're really happy to come out and celebrate death, you know, like how cool is that, you know?
And the people say that, in personally, in my opinion, Death Wall is a super solid band, you know? It's perfect. And it's everything you need. And are there any plans to record something new, Gene?
I'm never sure how to answer that, because flat out, we don't have plans to record anything new. That's not really what we, you know, we are here to celebrate the music of death. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of us are averse to it, but we've never sat around and talked about, like, hey, should we do something? It's just never, that subject has just never really ever come up in any kind of serious mode. Like, I mean, I'm sure we could do a live album, a live DVD kind of thing, or if we were to do a Death to All record, would it be, you know, music inspired by the music of death kind of thing? Not sure how to approach it, and that would not be on the front of the mind of what our intent is as a band, you know. But I'm not, the music of death is pretty okay as it is. We might not see I'm not sure the need to have Death to All add originals into the thing, but there are some other concepts that we have kind of thought about involving some of Chuck's music that we might be able to integrate. And but hey, you never know. You never know. We've never talked about it, but you never know in the future. And
nobody knows.
Yeah, I just know. I know how busy I am, and I know how busy everybody else in the band is. So actually trying to physically find the time to do something like that could be challenging.
Yes, Gene. I want to know, is there any death song that you especially enjoy playing live? What makes it special for you?
Well, I've always said my favorite death song and my favorite song to play live is Flattening of Emotions from Human.
Wow.
What an amazing song. The song, Sean just crushed it on that one. All of Human is amazing. You know, that's my personal favorite death record. It had such a kick-ass impact and on the world of drums, on the world of metal, absolutely. So I'm a huge fan of Human, and you know, I love all of these songs. You know, it's like I love playing songs off Leprosy as well. That's just such a solid death record. You know, it's well played, well produced. You know, a lot of people say, oh, might be a little too polished, but back in those days, there were no rules, you know, like Leprosy was just a kick-ass sounding record, and it was just really solid. I really dug Billy Andrews' drumming on that. It was just really just crisp, you know, just solid kick-ass drumming, and it fit all the songs really well. I dig Richard Christie's drumming because he's got such a crazy mind, and so figuring his stuff out is super fun, you know. That was a fun little quick little challenge, you know. Okay, you got to get Richard's stuff down for this, and you know, we try to do that as well as we can. And that's one thing that's important to me with this, you know, this celebration of this music, is you got to nail everybody's parts, you know. I got to play Sean well, I have to play Richard well. I don't pay that much attention to my stuff. You know, that's kind of on the back burner. It's like, I'm not, I, I try to learn relearn every lick that I played back then, but that's not super on the forefront of my mind as much as like, hey, you really got to nail the Richard stuff. You got to nail the Sean stuff. Do a, you know, pay a good tribute to Billy and also capture the essence of Chris Reifert. You know, trying to do all four, five styles of drumming, you know, the fifth style, mine, you know, that eight is important to me, but trying to get everybody else licks down is important, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I dig playing all the songs, you know, I'm, there are, you know, like now that we're playing an entire album's worth of songs on two nights.
Entire album, wow.
You begin, yeah, you know, we got Scream Bloody Gore, entire album, you know, Sound of Berserk, it's entire album. You start to see why some of these songs might not have been played live too often. You know, it's like you get that. It's like, oh, I see this one. It stayed in the studio. All bands have that. You know, when you have your album, when you're writing your record, you're thinking, we're gonna play all of these songs live, and then you just start seeing after you start playing a lot of them live, you start seeing which ones work, which ones don't. You see why they work. You see why they don't work. And you come to understand that when you're playing an entire album, you know, of music, definitely. So there you go.
Wow. I have one question.
Yeah.
What's the crazy thing a fan has asked you to sing?
Their child?
What the crazy thing a fan has asked?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, their baby.
Their baby.
Plenty of babies. Yeah, back up. Yeah, no, a little.
How
is it, y'all?
What?
Hey, will you sign my baby? I'm like, okay, if you want. Yeah. That usually happens.
The best thing is even that.
Right? Yeah, but at the Ozfest, you know, the big concert tour that the strapping young lad was a part of, we signed a number of babies. You know, there's people that brought leg bones for me to sign. You know, and I'm like, are these human? I don't want to know. You know, kind of thing. Signed some crazy stuff over the years.
And Gene, do you have any special message or last word for your fans listening to this interview?
Well, for anybody who has been, you know, like a supporter of myself or any of the music I've ever been involved in, I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. It's always been my number one like task to put out killer quality metal, try to drive the genre further all that I can, you know, and try to elevate the genre and try to add to the genre of, you know, heavy metal and try to be a part of its shaping and framing, you know, like try to be the good influence on this and on that and try to bring just always really quality metal no matter what I do. You know, and so I just appreciate everybody's support. And if you're into kick-ass metal, then awesome. You know, that's what I try to be a part of. Try to bring the musical chops all the time. You know, try to always elevate myself. I try not to rest on, you know, past, you know, glory or whatever it is. But, you know, I'm always trying to get one level up each album I play on, you know, and so that's real cool. And for instance, recently, about a month and a half ago, there was released an album by the artist Bear McCreary. And Google Bear McCreary if you don't know who he is. And I and many other guest stars played on his album. It is called The Singularity. And it's got just the list of guest stars and vocalists and guitarists and musicians. Just it's pretty phenomenal, and his album is really amazing. That's one of the best albums I've ever been involved in. So Bear McCreary, The Singularity, that's the latest thing I have out. You know, right before that came out the Death Clock 4 Death Album 4 album. That one's killer. got another couple of records on the way that are coming, and you know, everybody keep their eyes open, but definitely check out that Bear McCreary stuff. If you like some of the more bombastic stuff I've done, like the Death Clock and the Strapping Young Lad and Devin Townsend kind of music, it's in that sort of area of music. You know, you got to have a real open mind for a lot of it. A lot of it is heavy as hell, and a lot of it is absolutely beautiful, like a Devin or a Strapping, and you know, even Death Clock to a large degree. So, and it's the drumming's killer on it. Everybody's performances is great. So check that one out. Bear McCreary, The Singularity.
I will check it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Have all your fans, all your viewers, just give it a listen. You know, give the first 5 songs a listen. See what you think. You know, it's a long record, so strap yourself in. You know, if you're ready to, if you can get the whole album in one shot, that would work. Nice one.
Well, Gene, thank you very much for his time.
I appreciate it, brother. Thank you very much, Gina.
I hope to see you on the road or here in my radio show again.
Excellent. Well, either or, I'm all for it. Hope to see you on the road, my friend. Absolutely.
See you.
All right. Take care, Gino. We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Did you go out?
Rock Radio, your rock station.
Follow anywhere you go. She said, I'm going down. You're still coming with me. Just give me your hand to hold. Through my eyes, you'll see my soul, but it ain't always pretty. Slow when you're really feeling low, time doesn't know pity. It's our only path to home, but we can't make it alone. Better act quickly. I just need a hug. Roads are paved full of needy. The hands of time just flow. When life reaches plateau, then time starts receding.
I know just turns the bones and dust. Death comes for all who live. How much you got to give? Cause when that green highway calls, then robbery must. One day I'll know the kind of things no living man knows. One day I'll reach the ultimate high. 100 miles to no man's land. Ride or die. I started running just to get away from something. Ain't no freedom like that wide open road. No destination, no direction, no way home. Tonight to the place no living man moves. One day I'll take the ultimate ride. Those speeds of dead man's curve. Who will crash? Who will burn? And who will see tomorrow? Then tonight. Ride or die.
Position. All those things were one nice one.